Hello and welcome to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. I am your host, Daniel Fazina, and I'm so thankful that you're joining me today on this episode of Divine Intervention. You know, friend, we feature a lot of amazing things on this show: miracles, healings, answered prayers, all types of ways in which God intervenes. And, you know, one of my most favorite types of people to interview on the show are missionaries, because they tend to believe God, not only for the miraculous, but for everything that he promises in his word. Today's guest is no exception. His name is Dr. David Yanez, also known as the Rev, and he has been preaching the gospel since he was 16 years old. God has used him in the Navy and throughout our nation to deliver healing, hope, and salvation to many. In his early 20s, he interned with a missions ministry from India to help the 1.5 billion people in India and Asia that don't know Jesus. He's an author, a minister, an entrepreneur, and an all-around great guy. His website is revministries.com, and it is my pleasure to introduce to you right now Dr. David Yanez on Divine Intervention. David, welcome to Divine Intervention. Thank you so much for joining us and taking the time out of your schedule to share with us.
Amen. Well, it's always a blessing to be a part of a ministry like yours, my brother.
Well, thank you so much. I was so excited to meet you at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention and learn a little bit about you and your amazing ministry and what you've been doing for the gospel all over the world. And we certainly want to get to that, but why don't we take it to the beginning a little bit? Tell us a little bit about your background. Who is Dr. David Yanez?
It goes back all the way to my childhood, I guess, before I was born. You talk about divine intervention, and before I was born, my mom had a tumor.
Oh, boy.
She went to an evangelist named Dorothy Davis, and she's a very popular evangelist back in the 70s. And she looked at my mom and came up there, and she's always been a part of her ministry and always would go to her when she needed prayer. And she goes, What's wrong, Sister Yanez? And she's like, well, the doctors told me today I have a tumor. And she looked at her and said, you know what? God is telling me right now as you speak that that is no longer a tumor, but that is a babe boy.
Mm.
His name will be named David. And he will preach the word of God and have a healing ministry and will save souls around this world. And she said, so she went from there. And then, you know, of course, the course of the pregnancy and all. And then I was born and I was named David. And ever since I was growing up, Daniel, it's like everybody reminded me of that story.
Wow, that is amazing. I'm wondering how could that have happened? I mean, your mom was diagnosed with a tumor and then this woman just declared it was you.
Absolutely. You know, I thought it was a unique story, and for years it was, until I ran into another guy that was a tumor as well, and that God changed him into a baby as well.
Wow. That is some interesting beginnings.
Something that's hard to understand sometimes, but then when you look at it, you know, God can do anything, amen?
Yes, he can.
So early in my life, I already knew who God was. I mean, my father was a minister, and he passed away when I was one.
Oh, wow.
When I was 5 years old, you know, I tell you what, I started to recognize that everyone else had a dad, and I didn't have a dad when I was in school.
Hmm.
And I was like, Lord, you know, and I would always talk to God no matter what. I would always talk to him, and I said, I don't have a dad. Everyone else has one. And then what I found out was that God talks back. Amen?
Mm-hmm.
even at that age, God talks back. And what happened was I went over there to a tree that I used to always go to this tree, and I would always, I was young, but I would always read my Bible underneath this tree, and I was five, and that's how actually I started to learn how to read, was reading the Bible.
Wow.
And then God just spoke to me and said, you know, I'm your father. He goes, I'm going to send you an earthly father to take care of you and to raise you, but I have a plan for you, and you call me dad.
Mm.
And from that sense on, I've always called him dad. And of course, you go through life, and a few months later, I think my mom met someone that was a godly man, and a year later they were married. So God, you know, honored that,
that's amazing. And you know, it's interesting because the Bible does talk about God being our daddy, our Abba, our father, in that way. And that word Abba is very, very much like the English word dad or daddy.
Yes.
So it's very, very interesting, and I'm so glad that he spoke with you and sent you a father. That happened to my pastor too. My pastor, Pastor Jones, in Long Island, New York, Grace Lutheran Church. he had a rough childhood growing up, and he went to a park, and God spoke to him and wiped his tears away, and because he had grown up in an alcoholic family.
Wow.
And he was saying, God, this isn't fair. Why is this? And God said, don't worry, it's going to be all right. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to be your father. So very interesting story, and kind of similar to yours, just reminded me. So that's really cool. I'm glad that he sent you an earthly father. And
yeah, and and to this day, I've never called him stepdad.
That's great. So
yeah, he was a, I mean, you hear stories all the time, of different of families and, step parents and stuff. But my dad, he's a good man, and he loved us more than anything. So I'm thankful. I know for that reason that God sent him to us.
That's great.
He came in and just loved us. So.
So you knew your destiny and calling in God from a very young age.
Oh, absolutely. But like all of us, it's like, where do I start?
Yeah. How did you get, into your own ministry, and how did that go for you growing up?
Oh, growing up, it was interesting because I went to a Christian school. I was in public school probably up to third grade. And then from from just after elementary through junior high all the way to high school, I was in a Sweetwater Christian school back in Houston, Texas.
Sweetwater. I like that name.
Yeah, Sweetwater. Yeah, it's nice, huh? And do you know that almost all my friends on Facebook are from that school, and most of us are ministers or in church or doing something. So, it all kind of writes itself, as you get older.
I mean, that's great, though.
Guys, yeah, it's like you don't even know what you know how they lived back in high school or in junior high, and you see them write themselves down the road. God has a purpose, and, no matter where you're at, 20 years down the road, I was sitting down actually at the NRB, just down the street, one of the restaurants, with a friend of mine that lived in Nashville, and he's now a pastor of a huge ministry in, Crosspoint TV? He's the actual pastors of ministries.
Oh, that's great. No, I think that's a wonderful thing. I know a lot of kids who go to parochial schools, and they end up rebelling against God and going in the totally opposite direction. So it's a good testament to your school and to the grounding of the Word of God in people's hearts that they eventually come around.
Every single Tuesday, they gave us the Word of God in. And because, even though we may know the call in our life, that calling in your life, it draws. It will bring people people will see that call in your life.
Mm.
At a young age, at an old age, no matter what, God put that call. You cannot deny it. And at a young age, they were giving me the Bible and telling me, go up there and share. Go up there and share. So throughout my entire schooling from sixth grade all the way to graduation of high school, I was constantly given the scriptures to read.
Mm. Now, I have to ask you, a lot of people, when they grow up in a particular belief system, there comes a time when they question it and wonder, well, what else is there out there? Is what I'm being taught really the truth? And am I thinking for myself? Did you ever have that type of moment or thought in your own life?
I never had because of my early relationship with God.
Okay.
I knew He was real. And the stories I read, I always could see them come alive in my mind and in my spirit. And I have a lot of friends that went through that, and even after school they rebelled and they walked away. And what are you going to hold on to? What are you going to believe? Not only is it real, but does it apply to your life? And then some of my friends, I'm not going to say all of them did good, but some of them aren't even following the Lord because they've rebelled so far because of hurt and anger. But yeah, I think I didn't have a moment for myself, but I've seen others had that.
It seems to be a pretty common thing with people, especially when they're growing up and they're questioning things, trying to find their way in life.
Biggest challenge was in the Navy that's where God. I mean, there's a part where you know you're called, but then there's a part when you're called and you just start doing stuff.
Right. Tell us about that. You went into the service.
Praying. I was praying in the morning, and for some reason. And it's going to sound weird, but this is definitely a divine intervention again. I had this. My brother had a dog. I had a cat, and they would always fight back and forth, and in the morning particularly.
Fighting like cats and dogs, huh?
Yeah, just go back and forth playing and making noise. I'd worked overnight, and I could never, go over there and get some good sleep because these little runts kept arguing. So I threw a pillow at them because they were doing the same thing in the morning. I threw a pillow at them, hit the bathroom door. I didn't hear him anymore. And I'm like, oh man, it's too quiet. Did I kill him? So I leaned around, and they're just, you know how they just lay on their stomach, but they're looking forward with their head down?
Yeah.
That's what they both were doing, and at the bathroom door. And I'm like, well, what's going on? So I got out of my bed, went to open the door, and when I went to open the door, I knew that God was in that, on that other side of that door, that there, his presence was in there. So I opened it slowly, walked in, and his presence just covered me. And literally, I had two directions I could have went at that point, because I was heavily into playing soccer. I was very recruited into different teams to play, and I was heading overseas within the next 2 months. It was to Germany, actually. I was ready to go. I had offers to come and just get into their like third division and work myself up. And I was, 19, pretty good athlete,
mm-hmm.
ready to go. And in the mirror of the bed of the bathroom, and this is why it happened. Why this happened in the bathroom? Because in the mirror, I could see myself successful on one side, and then but then there was something, a void in me. And then on the other side of the mirror, I can see myself going through a hard time, but serving God. And not a hard time that because God's calling me to go through a hard time, but because of the sacrifices you have to make and the continual prayer and the attacks that you get as a ministry and minister.
Mm-hmm.
Just you got to work yourself through those things. And I could see the people getting reached, and that my heart was full when I was doing God's work.
Right.
And at that moment, I just said, what do you want me to do, Lord? And he said, I want you to go to the Navy. I said, what?
The Navy. Now, had you even considered going into the military before?
Never. I never even thought about it. Didn't even know how to join.
Okay.
I'm like, okay. And this is a blind faith, brother. I just said, okay, I'm gonna do it. So I just called the recruiter, and I found one right down the street. And I go, oh, yeah, there's a recruiting office there. So I called him, and he said, yeah, just come in when you can. He goes, when can you get there? I go, I don't have a car right now. My brother's using it. So I'll just jog down there. He's like, okay, how long you be? About 20 minutes or so. And I came in. Of course, when you jog, you're going to get sweaty. You're going to be panting a little.
Yeah.
I think he thought I was running from the law when I walked in there. Because the first thing he wanted to do was a criminal background check on me. And I'm like, no, I'm fine, and I just have to go in there. And God guided me through the whole step. This recruiter wanted to put me in there for 8 years and this and that. And I said, well, and it's important to pray. No matter what step God sends you to, it's important to pray. And it's
sure.
important to get his plan, because, our ideas and our ways are not his ways. I mean, he has a whole divine way he's going to set you and put you on course.
Right.
And I sat down with this guy, and I said, it doesn't feel right going in 8 years. And he didn't understand what I meant. I was 19, I'm telling him this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I need to talk to my dad. And he's like, well, call him right here. I go, well, can I have a little privacy? He went outside the recruiting office, and I picked up the phone like I was dialing someone, and I just dialed some fake number, and I just put the phone on my chest, and I was like, Lord, what do you want me to do? And he goes, tell him there's a 2-year program, and the papers are on the right side of his desk drawer. I was like, okay, Lord.
What?
So he came in, he sat down. Said, what your dad said? Well, my dad said I should go for the 2-year program. He goes, oh, we don't have a 2-year program. It's not for you. He goes, you're definitely your testing level and your athletic level and your knowledge level. We need to put you into a program that you're going to get something when you get out of the military. I'm like, well, I understand. I appreciate your concerns, but I really would rather go for the 2-year program. And he goes, well, I don't even know if I have the paperwork for that. I go, actually, it's probably on the right side of your desk. Put it in my desk.
Wow.
So that's how that happened. And he was pretty angry, but, and he told me, you're not going to have any rate. You're not going to be respected on the ship. You're basically going to be mopping and painting. And I'm like thinking in the back of my mind, oh, great, what am I getting into? But then in the front of my mind and in my heart, I'm saying, this is what God wants me to do. So I do it.
How did the recruiter react when you told him the paperwork was in your drawer on the right side of the desk?
Oh, he was upset. He thought I went through his drawers and looked through stuff because he was outside the room.
Oh, my goodness.
So I just, I was a lucky guess. He has a left side and a right side. I was 50% right.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's what I just got told. I just guessed.
Yeah, but, wow. God spoke to you. That's really cool. Friend, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking with Dr. David Yanez, and he is a minister, an author, an entrepreneur, and a missionary, and he's telling us about his life. So, David, after you went into the military, how did your life go from there, and how did you see God's hand on your life and working through you?
Well, you know, I think, and I'm not saying this as anything political or anything trying to change people's lives and minds of thinking, but I think everyone should serve in the military, you know, at least a couple of years. Only reason is because it gets you away from your family.
Okay.
I know college is good, but it makes you grow up. You have the chance to grow up, let me say that.
Okay.
You have the chance to do something. I was at a point in my life where my friends were influencing me a lot, even though I love the Lord, but I never followed my friends. That was the one thing that my wife always tells me about my second son, is that he's just like you. He's stubborn, and nothing can make him do anything that he doesn't want. That's a good quality.
Yeah.
To use it for God. And
but why do you think God told you to go into the military?
I think it was so I can completely just be surrendered to his call.
Okay.
Even though I worked in that environment, I had people that were just like my friends at work and everything, I walked in there and nobody knew me from anywhere else. And I automatically, in boot camp, God used me to pray for people.
Mm.
Throughout my entire first days, all the way in, God would use me to pray for people, and different religions would come to me and have questions. Crazy story is, I got sick when I was in the boot camp one time. It's this big swollen thing on the side of my neck. And I think one of the reasons I was in there was that I would totally just trust him, to learn how to totally trust him. And I tell you what, I would not trade those 2.5-3 years for anything. Even when I went off track a little and I started playing soccer for the military, because they found out that I played soccer and I was recruited everywhere, and I start playing around the country for the U.S. Navy, God shut that down real quick.
Okay.
So it's like, even when you get off track a little. But this is a miracle that happened when I was in the military. The doctors couldn't help. They had me at the San Diego at Balboa Hospital in Miramar.
Okay.
They were trying to get into my neck to try and see what it was. Nobody knew what it was. I called that night. I called every prayer channel that they had on TBN and all the other Christian networks.
Okay.
There weren't that many back then. And uh-huh. I called 800 numbers, and nobody picked up, bro.
Oh, boy.
I was like, Lord, I'm going into surgery tomorrow. I can't even get prayer. And I called my aunt, and she was always a prayer woman. I've been blessed to have a mom and an aunts that and uncles, especially the women, though, were prayer warriors. I mean, they just fight in prayer. They would pray. They would not cease in praying till their answers came in. And I grew up watching that, so I grew up a prayer person.
Okay.
And I just fell asleep and said, Lord, this is you. You called me to do ministry, and I'm leaving it in your hands. You told me to go in the military. I'm obeying you, and I leave this in your hands. Well, in the middle of the night, this lady comes walking up, and it was a nurse. And she went up there, and she was checking my vitals and all this other stuff and checking all the equipment. And my Bible, it's not a full-size Bible, but, you know, the one that has just the New Testament, the small ones.
Sure.
And has the Psalms and Proverbs in it. It just fell on the floor, so she picked it up, and she goes, you dropped your Bible. And I go, well, thank you. And she gave it to me. And she goes, I guess you're here for that thing on your neck. I go, yes, ma'am. She goes, well, let me pray for you. I go to a church on the hill, and I'm going to pray for you. I'm like, sure. And she prayed. And it was another lady, and now this lady was an ensign, and she was really beautiful, and then this other lady wasn't an ensign, she was a regular, she wasn't an officer, she was a regular military. She came in, and she's like, who changed all your stuff? And she wasn't as pretty as the other one. Oh, Lord, help me. And she's like about to smack me or something, because she was real angry that someone messed. She thought I messed with all my stuff and everything, and I'm like, no, I didn't touch anything. She goes, well, someone already came in front of me and changed all this. And then she's like, I'm going to go find out what happened. And I told her, and then she didn't believe me, because she's like, we don't even have an ensign that's a nurse.
Oh, wow.
So she goes, you're lying. She kept telling me I was lying. And then she walked out of the room, and then, I don't know, as I was waking up, and my bed was moving very quickly. And they were moving me to the emergency room, and I'm like, what's going on? And they go, got to have surgery right now. I'm like, why? And they go, we have to have surgery right now. What happened was that thing that was the size of a grapefruit.
Mm-hmm.
Grew to the size of a dime.
So it
All they had to do was make an incision, and it popped right out.
So it shrunk, basically.
Yeah, it basically shrunk, yes.
Wow. And right in overnight. And how long had you had this thing?
It happened, like, overnight. It was literally, I was working, I think I was working in the mess decks during the boot camp, and for some reason, I woke up with it. It just, like, this huge thing. In fact, my company commander opened the door. He's like, oh, my God, what's wrong with you? I didn't even have to make an excuse, and...
So it was the size of a grapefruit, you said?
Yeah, it grew the size of a grapefruit.
Wow. And then, so how long was it that size before it shrunk again?
like that for 3 days.
3 days, wow. That's very interesting.
I was in the hospital for 2 days.
Hmm.
So they cut it, it came out, and I still got the paperwork for all that, and they put the size that it was, dimensions, and to the size that it shrunk to.
That's amazing. You and I have a lot in common, because I had a grapefruit-sized tumor as well in my chest, though. It wasn't coming out of my neck. But that's very interesting. I love that. So do you think that Ensign who came in, do you think that was an angel?
Oh, absolutely. I always call him, grab the angel, go, oh, God got some beautiful angels, too, because I've seen one.
Yeah. It's very interesting that, God can send angels, and the Word says that we should always be kind to strangers, because you never know if you're going to be entertaining an angel. And
absolutely.
You know, he sends people, or he sends angels that can look like people, and that's not the first time I've heard a story like that, where someone who looks like a nurse, it was probably not a nurse. Very cool. We are speaking with David Yanez, and you are listening to Divine Intervention Radio. I'm Daniel Fazina. Coming up, we're going to hear more of David's life journey and how he became an author, entrepreneur, and minister. We'll get that story right after the break. Stay with us on Divine Intervention. Hey, this is Daniel Fazina of Divine Intervention Radio. The Bible contains some incredible stories of miracles and divine interventions. Jesus calmed a raging storm, healed paralytics, and even raised the dead. But are these types of events still happening today? The answer to this question, as you will see from reading my books, Divine Intervention, Amazing True Stories of God's Miracles Today, Volumes 1 and 2, is an emphatic yes. Contained within each book is a collection of amazing true stories that attest to this fact. You will read the astonishing firsthand accounts of people who have been healed of paralysis, terminal cancer, and AIDS through prayer. You will see the love of God powerfully transform the life of an Islamic terrorist. You will witness the liberation of the demon-possessed, the resurrection of the dead, and much more. Prepare to be awed and inspired as you experience divine intervention. More information about Divine Intervention, Amazing True Stories of God's Miracles Today, Volumes 1 and 2, can be found at DivineInterventionRadio.com or by calling 866-381-BOOK. That's 866-381-2665.
Hey, this is Danny Johnson, ABC's Secret Millionaire, and you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio with Daniel Fazina.
Divine Intervention is supported by the Other Perspective Media recording artist, poet Billy Lamont. Poetry, music, publishing, art, Jesus. More information about poet Billy Lamont's CDs, books, and other perspective media can be found at www.billylamont.com. Hey, this is Daniel Fazina of Divine Intervention Radio, and I would like to tell you about an exciting business opportunity I recently learned about with an amazing company called Ambit Energy. Rated by Inc. magazine as the number one fastest growing privately held company in America in 2010, Ambit Energy is a respected provider of electricity and natural gas to homes and businesses. Ambit Energy also rewards their customers for referring their service to others. As an Ambit independent consultant, you can start a business of your own that has the potential to generate thousands in residual income month after month. So, how many people do you know that use electricity or natural gas? How many of them do you think would like to pay less for it or even get it for free? How would you like to earn a residual income and potentially thousands of dollars in bonuses just for referring them to a service that everybody uses and that you don't have to sell? More information about this exciting opportunity with Ambit Energy can be found on the web at freepowernow.energy526.com. That's freepowernow.energy526.com.
Divine Intervention is supported by Grease Car Vegetable Fuel Systems. Grease Car Vegetable Fuel Systems is the leading manufacturer of vegetable oil conversion kits for diesel vehicles. With Grease Car Kits, your diesel vehicle can run on waste vegetable oil, saving money while recycling and helping to preserve the environment. Kits are available for diesel-powered cars, light-duty and heavy-duty trucks. More information can be found on the web at www.greasecar.com or by calling 413-534-0013.
Hi, everybody. This is Victoria Jackson from Saturday Night Live, and you are listening to Divine Intervention Radio with Daniel Fazina.
Divine Intervention welcomes the support of Latirzo Associates Certified Public Accountants. Latirzo Associates Certified Public Accountants is a family-owned and operated Christian business serving their clients with quality accounting services for over 40 years, offering full-service accounting for any type of business, large or small, in any state of the union. Latirzo Associates Certified Public Accountants, 12 Oak Street, No. 5, West Hampton Beach, New York, 11978. Phone 631-288-3334. That's 631-288-3334.
Hi, this is Jay Jackson, lead singer for Apologetics, that Christian parody band, and you're listening to Divine Intervention Radio with our good friend Daniel Fazina.
I walk Galilee Road, I know no one, and I am man unknown. I'm Samaritan though, got a known disease, but I've got no home. I've got this leprosy, all the folks who are approaching scream. Where's their sympathy? They run and show me none, but I'm not alone. I'm not alone, I'm not alone. I'm not alone, I'm not a... My fellow homeless ones, they walk beside me. We share those mobs that go with skin diseases. There's nine Jewish among us, they don't mind me. With them I'm not alone.
Welcome back to Divine Intervention, the interview show that features intriguing people who've experienced the hand of God in amazing ways. And today's guest is no exception. We are speaking with our special guest, Dr. David Yanez, and he is a minister and an author, an entrepreneur, and a missionary. His website is revmedia.com. Welcome back, David.
Thank you so much for having me again, brother.
Oh, it's my honor. So before the break, we were talking about how you actually had this massive tumor on the side of your neck, and you had a very interesting visitor in the middle of the night who we believe was an angel, who prayed for you, and you woke up and this tumor had shrunk. Now, that's not the only time you've seen an angel, is it?
No, it's not. I think that from the military, God gave me just a hunger to evangelize and to change people's lives. And I would always go out and preach places. And when I got out of the military, in fact, in the military, that's where I got the nickname The Rev, and that's where everything's Rev Media Network, Rev Media TV.
The Rev. Sounds like you're a rapper.
Yeah, right. So that's what they would all call me. Hey, Rev. The captain even called me Rev one time to come and pray for some time when we were about to fell a mission. He wanted me to pray, and we prayed, and we passed that mission.
That's great.
But, I was out of the military and out there in the streets witnessing to people. I mean, you know, when you're in something for so long, you know, I was in there for 2-3 years. It's not a long time, but it's where I had my ministry identity. I mean, that's where I would pray for people. That's where I would talk to people. On the mess decks, I would feed people. I'll go Taco Bell when we're important and order a whole bunch of it, and I'd bring it. And
they must have loved you.
Oh, yeah. They would come back drunk, and they would come back depressed, and they'd come back fighting with their spouses. The ship was the only place they can get away because, you know, some of them had base housing, but this is the place that this was their other bed that they couldn't sleep in anytime. And so these guys would come on the mess decks. I'd do counseling. I'd just talk to them. I'd pray with them. I'd lead them to the Lord. And so I had that heart to reach people. So when I got out, I just didn't know where to go. You know, I mean, it's like I would join a good church, but they weren't really doing much as far as evangelism, and my heart was to preach. I was a preacher. So I'd go out to the streets to the homeless to preach, and I had this shirt. And you probably remember that shirt that was Lord's Gym?
Yes, I do. Very,
I had
it. Very graphic.
Golden. It's gold in the letter, Lord's Gym, and his pain, your gain on the back.
Yeah, it's a picture of Jesus Christ with the cross on his back, and he's like pressing it to the ground, like it's
yes,
very very graphic. I do remember that.
So I would go out. That was the only shirt I would go out to the street. So I'd wash it every day and fold it. So it was getting pretty worn.
Yeah, but good conversation starter, I'll bet.
Oh, absolutely. I'd go out there, and I'm friendly by nature, so I always make friends wherever I go, and I'd witness to them, talk to them, and usually the shirt would draw people to ask me stuff, I'd pray for people, and people would get healed in the streets, and I would work homeless areas as well. And just, you know, I would do that. I did that, especially when I got out of the military while I was looking for a job. I was out there doing that every day until I found something where I could work, and I'd do that just whenever I had a chance to get out there.
That's great.
And one night, I was so tired. I did that. I went to another church and helped them at their church, and I was just a busy worker. I'm a busy worker when I work on things.
I would have never guessed that from your many, many pursuits. He's got about 5 different websites. He's a minister. He's an author. You're very ambitious. I like that about you.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that. And I was so tired, and normally I would throw my shirt in the wash. I'd watch a little bit of TV, get some dinner, and then I'd throw it in the dryer, and then I'd go to bed. And that way it would be dry by the morning, or I'd hang it up so it could dry by the morning. And being in Texas, that didn't take long at all. So I just forgot, and I just threw it on the floor. And the dog and cat were still there, so they were running around.
Okay.
And I was like, okay. I was like, y'all don't mess with my shirt. So I just put it in the corner and just threw it, and I guess they didn't mess with it. But I went to bed, and when I went to bed, it's like I was woken up in the it was still bright. It was like I looked over the side, and I was on my nephew's bunk bed on the top because he was gone for the weekend. I was like, I'm going to sleep his bed. So I slept up there, and I looked to the side, and I'm on a bunk bed, and I see this guy's shoulders tapping me on the shoulder, and I just see shoulders. I look up, and I see a head with long blonde hair, and he goes, hey, I'm going to take your shirt. And it's like I knew this person. It's like this person didn't have to introduce me, but I knew this person. I'm like, no, dude, you can't take it. Like, I haven't even washed it yet. And he says, well, I'm going to take your shirt. I need to borrow it. And you know what? You know how Jacob wrestled with an angel?
Yeah.
Well, I jumped off my bed when he was walking out, and I jumped on my shirt, and I pulled it back. And we were tug of war back. And it was so, you know, so real. I was there, and I said, you know what? And I go ahead. But when you bring it back, I need it washed, I need it dried, I need it folded in the corner right here. And he went inside my closet and shut the closet. I went up in bed like it was nothing, and I just laid down. Then I popped my head up as soon as I laid down. Like, what just happened? I jumped out of bed, and very slowly I opened that closet door. I didn't see anything. I was like, oh, it must have been a dream. Brother, do you know that my shirt was washed, clean, and folded? It was pressed. It wasn't only folded. It was pressed in the very corner that I told him. And then God said, that's your angel.
Like, so you actually saw your own guardian angel, so to speak?
Yeah, he's like huge. Yeah, that was amazing. And God just put it in my heart, that was my angel. And that he's with, and I'm like, okay. And from that day on, I had a bigger step in my walk.
Yeah, no kidding.
Louder voice in my throwing, in my speaking. I had more confidence in what I was doing for the Lord, because I knew angels were with me.
Yeah. Now, this is divine intervention, and we talk about this kind of stuff all the time. But to the average person maybe listening to this, you might sound a little crazy. Do you ever get that reaction when you tell those people?
Yeah, sometimes some people just look at me and... But people want to believe in the supernatural.
Oh, I find that too. A lot of people do. There are some. I mean, I have a lot of skeptic friends and, you know, atheists and agnostics who they'll deny anything that they don't see or sense, you know, with their 5 senses or whatever. But there's a lot more to this world than what we see and what we hear and, you know, the empirical sciences, let's put it that way. There's a lot more to it. So, I mean, I believe in angels, obviously. I believe they're extra-dimensional, and they sometimes manifest, and it's really cool, and they do. I don't think I've ever seen one, but I've had a lot of instances where I knew that God was intervening in my life and saving me from different things. So I do believe I have a guardian angel, maybe more than one. I don't know. But it's really cool that you actually got to see yours. And it's interesting, you mentioned that when you saw him, you didn't question who he was. You kind of knew?
Yeah, and the way I put it is okay, you know, when I walk into the room with my children, they don't have to turn around and know that that's Dad sitting there. They know me. I'm sitting in the room. When they come home or in my office or in the living room or the bedroom, I know which kid is standing there without even looking at them. Mm. I know their presence. I can sense them. And this is the same thing in the supernatural, I believe. I don't need to know that was God in that room when he talked to me. He don't have to explain who he is. I already know him.
Wow.
I've sensed him. I know my father. I know my children in the natural, I know my father in the supernatural. Just like I know those that are of my father's house, that are around me, guarding me and taking care of me. I don't know them by name and by sight, but when I see them, I know them.
So, wow. That's pretty cool. Friend, if you're just tuning in, we are speaking with our special guest, Dr. David Yanez. He is a minister and an author, an entrepreneur. His website is revmediatv.com. That's one of many of websites that he has. He's a very ambitious guy. Now, one of the reasons why I love talking to people like you who are missionaries is because missionaries tend to believe in the supernatural, and they tend to believe God for many different things. And you've done missionary work in India. Can you tell us about your experiences there and what you've seen and some of the miracles you've experienced there?
Yeah, we have seen many things. Many things. I think just in getting into India, half the time it's a miracle sometimes. we take equipment, and the customs is hard to get into. But the miracle that I've seen, a lot of it is healing.
Okay.
I want to give you at least three of these miracles that I know that were just confirmed, and I've seen them from my own eyes. And one of them was this lady, I think last year or 2010, I think it was 2010 when we were praying, and she was brought to me. She was the last service that we had was at our sponsor church that's there.
Okay.
Sponsors that hosts us while we're visiting and stuff. And it was the last miracle service or last healing service. We do 18 to 20 services every time we go out there in a time period.
And how many times have you been to India?
This will be my fifth time again.
Wow.
Going back in November.
Okay.
And for every healing service we do, we plant a church. So so there's something lasting there, not just them getting healed. There's going to be nourished foundation for them. So this last church was actually the home church, and so it was the day before we headed back, and they brought me this lady that was completely paralyzed. I mean from waist down, she hadn't been able to walk since she was a little girl, and she's an old lady now.
Okay.
And they had her and brought her on a bed, and that's the first person they brought me to pray for at the healing service. I've seen villages, and I've seen great miracles. Yet they bring me a woman in a chair. I mean, in a bed, and I'm like, "Oh Lord, can you do this?"
It's like a little warm up for you, right? Practice.
Yeah, I'm like, "Okay, Lord." So I walked to her and I said, "I go, ma'am. I go, sister." And I always call them sweetie. I go, because old ladies, I go, sweetie, God will do some miracles for you. And they translate it. And I go, in a few days, you're gonna feel your legs. In a few weeks, you're going to be able to. In 6 weeks, you're going to be able to walk through these doors of this very church and testify that Jesus healed you.
In how long?
In 6 weeks.
In 6 weeks, and okay.
6 weeks later, she walked through that church door saying that.
What?
Yeah.
So you actually saw her come back?
Trusted team. So they're my team I work with. They call me, David, Dr. David. She walked through the door. They took a picture of her standing there and walking and waving at the camera.
That is awesome. So what did she say?
She of course, testified the Lord healed her and that I prayed for her, and that she did feel her leg days, and she was standing, and then she just started to walk. Like this last week, before she came in, she started to walk.
Wow. Praise God. That's awesome.
And I've used that testimony in churches to tell people that, you know, I'm praying for you. God healed you, but it's going to take time to manifest something.
Mm-hmm. Why do you think that is? I mean, some people experience it instantaneously. And
honestly, I think a lot of time it's just a test of our faith, or just waiting on God and knowing and trusting God.
Mm.
The Bible says in the Word of God, we see people that got healed instantly. And those people were full of faith. I mean, you look at Stephen in the Bible when he taught, the Bible says that he was full of faith.
Right.
And then when Jesus looked at the centurion and looked at the old lady that came and was not supposed to be part of the partaking of, she was a Gentile, and Jesus said to them, you have great faith. But then when he looked at his disciples that seen great miracles in their lives, great things that happened, he looked at them and told them, you have no faith and you have little faith. So at any time in our life, we can have either no faith, little faith, or great faith to get it to where we can believe.
Wow.
Actually healed us.
Wow, those are very good insights. I like that. Friend, if you're just tuning in, once again, we are speaking with David Yanez, and he is an author and a minister and an entrepreneur and a missionary. I'm your host, Daniel Fazina, and you are listening to Divine Intervention Radio. So, David, you have a couple of other interesting miracle testimonies from India. Please do share.
Okay. When I went back, for some reason, I preached on a miracle that happened here in Kingwood. And I don't know why I preached on this, because usually I just preach straight out of the Word of God when I'm out there. And I talked to him about a miracle about a young lady that was here that I prayed for years ago, maybe a few years after getting out of the military, I prayed for her, and I was invited to talk. Not to talk, but to pray for people at the end of a service. They asked for all the young preachers. Well, on one side, you got one guy just shouting out the devil. On another line, they got another minister, young minister, praying in tongues, and his line's packed. And then there, me, I'm the third line, and there's nobody in front of me, and I'm just standing there. So this little lady came up to me, and she just looked at me, and she goes, "Can you pray for me?" I'm like, "Well, you might want to wait for those two lines. They look pretty good." Many of us kind of push off what we're supposed to do. And it's like, she looked at me and she goes, "Well, I have to go by default." And I'm like, "Sure, no problem, darling." And I prayed for her, and I remember the prayer to this day. I said, "Lord, bless my sister, touch her, reach into her life right now. Lord, make the crooked straight in Jesus' name. Give her what she needs." And that's a very simple, but very, very, very faithful giving, you know, just really strong.
Right.
And then she's like, "Is that it?" I'm like, "Yep, that's it." She's like, "Okay, I guess." And she walked off. So, you know, 6 months later, I'm at my sister's wedding, and someone just jumped on the back of my neck, and it was that same short lady. And I, like, turned around. I said, "Oh, I know you." And she goes, "You prayed for me." I was going, "Yeah, that's great. Yeah, he's God. Awesome." And she goes, "No, do you know I got healed?" And I was like, "Tell me about it."
This sounds good.
And she's like, she said that, you know, from when I was a little girl, she goes, I was diagnosed with this feet that were crooked. My feet were crooked. I had to have special shoes made since I was a little girl. I could have to get on my stomach, crawl to the bathroom, and I had a special chair to pull myself up on to put my shoes on just to wash my face and to take a shower. And then I had to get back on that chair and put my shoes on that I was going to wear for the day.
Hmm.
And I go, "Wow." And she goes, "So my foot was like a crow's foot. It was just crooked. I never could buy nice, pretty shoes." And I go, "After the night after you prayed for me, in the morning, I start crying." She goes, "For the first time in my life, I didn't even know it. I stepped out of my bed. I walked to the bathroom. And I washed my face for the first time ever in my life. I didn't even know I washed." She goes, I got on my knees, and I prayed. And I thanked God. And I asked him to bless your ministry because you're faithful to pray. And she was the only person I prayed for that night, really.
Wow. Well, it only takes one, you know?
Absolutely.
That is awesome. Now, how did you feel when you heard this testimony?
Oh, man, I give all the glory to God. I'm smiling like, "Oh, Lord, send me some more. Let me more healing. Let me go." That's just my attitude.
Yeah.
Rev Media Network has been on for it since 2009, and it takes a lot of time every day working on it. And I have to get myself in tune because we do a live show and Monday through Friday. We do a show every from, 2 o'clock Central Time. So it's like, you know, I start writing, putting the stories together. You know how it is putting a show together.
Yeah, I do. And, compared to what you do, I only do it once a week, maybe twice.
Oh, so, yeah.
It's a little bit different.
This last year, I've been doing Mondays and Fridays, doing reruns, and Tuesday through Thursday, running a live show. And I just do Bible teachings most of the time. I talk about current things and pretty at the whim and put things. But anyway, it's hard to get your mind on to getting that done when you're just thinking about, "Oh, Lord, send me some more. Let me more healing. Let me go."
Oh, I can totally relate to that. I have a desire to go out and just pray for people. I've done that several times. So when you're sitting in a studio, it's a little different. But I have to take heart and know that God has called me to do this ministry, to bring his testimonies and miracles out to the world that we can share with them and encourage a hurting world out there and let them know that, you know what, God is real. And he is still doing things. He's still intervening in people's lives, as evidenced by David's testimonies here and many of the others that we featured on Divine Intervention. And when I hear from listeners who write in or call me or whatever, and they're encouraged by the testimonies, it spurs me on to keep doing it, you know, and to know that God is using it. So it's a great thing. Now tell us about your ministry, Rev Media TV, Rev Media Network. Where can we tune in, and how can we support you?
Okay, RevMediaNetwork.com is probably the best way to find us. It kind of has all the broadcasting on there. We have three channels. We're about to introduce a fourth channel. I was about to say that. We have a sermon channel that runs 24/7, and we have a music channel that runs 24/7, and then we have our talk radio, which Daniel is on now.
Woohoo!
I just put your banner up on the front page, so you're up there.
It's awesome.
On Daniel's picture, it'll take you to his bio page, and in his bio page, that's where his archives are going to be, but also has his bio and your web information. So Rev Media Network is probably the best way to get a hold of me. In fact, my email is david@revmedianetwork.com if people want to email me Now, that's usually the best one. Red Media TV is a new format. It's an IPTV format that we're broadcasting into television homes now. We're able to broadcast into 2 million homes through this, as well as broadcast on the internet and broadcast through any phone or device.
That is cool.
It's fairly new, so we're still putting it all together. I mean, we have content, but we have a lot of churches working on their content, and we're going to do a soft launch probably at the end of this month, and then ready to go by the summer.
So you're on the cutting edge. That's
really
cool.
Oh, yeah, that stuff, I had to jump into that. God bless it. The same day, I'm eating a burger at a burger place. The same day that I found this thing, the people to build this for me, the cost was like, oh, my goodness, it was like $18,000. I looked at it, and I'm like, Lord, you'll provide. If this is what you want me to do, you're going to provide. I left it like that, and I was so excited about that. I was talking with a pastor. We sat down. We talked for a little bit, and we're just eating, you know, a Whataburger. I don't know if you have those out there, but it's just a hamburger place, and it's really good. And I was sitting there, and it's kind of like a McDonald's-type place, but, you know, we're sitting down, and we're just talking. And I'm explaining him all the great stuff that this IPTV is going to do, and being able to go through the Roku device onto television sets and be able to broadcast it, you know, internet and on phones and pay-per-view, all this stuff excited. He's like, well, sounds like you really need to get this. I go, yeah, but, you know, it's a need, but God always provides my needs. So I'm going to leave it in his hands. He goes, will my church be able to get on there and have its own channel, and would you help put the videos together? And I go, oh, yeah, Pastor, you know, you're my friend. I love you. And that's part of my heart, is just serving. You know, I think that, I mean, we sow our seeds and we water them by serving.
Right.
You know, and that's part of why my ministry's grown in the last 3 years, because I've served a lot of other older men of God than me, like 60, 70, 80 years old, helping them do their ministry and get them online and really bless them, because they don't have the knowledge to do this stuff.
Right.
And I do, and I can help them real shortly. And they're a blessing to me, but I think God blesses more than anyone could bless. You know, man will never out-bless God.
Right.
Trying to find a blessing. If you're always a blessing, God will always be a blessing to you.
That's the law of sowing and reaping, right?
Absolutely. And I can go hours on that.
I'm sure you can.
That's the principle that these guys have taught me. All these other people that I've worked with, you know, they're really strong on the sowing and reaping principles. But yeah, so.
So how did you get the money for this, you know, this $18,000?
Oh, I was sitting down and we're eating a burger. And, well, that sounds good. He goes, I want to support you on this. So, he goes, so what's it all going to cost you? And I go, $18,000. Okay, well, how much do you need? $18,000. Yeah, I found the best approach is the direct approach.
Right, sure.
Well, come by the church, and do they take payments monthly? I go, yeah, we can pay it off in 3 months. He goes, well, I'll have your first installment. Just come by the church, and I'll have a check for you.
Wow.
And then every month he called me. He goes, do you have it this month? And I go, well, honestly, Pastor, I don't. He goes, well, I'm taking care of it. So he goes, you know what? Because we're just going to take care of all of it. Just tell him to send us the balance. And he paid it off on the third month.
So, praise God. That is awesome. I love how God's people, when they come together, they hear from God, they work together. You know, you can accomplish a lot that way. That's
absolutely
a wonderful thing. What an awesome testimony. Friend, we are having a wonderful time talking with David Yanez. He is a minister, a missionary, an author, and an entrepreneur. I'm Daniel Fazina, and this is Divine Intervention Radio. So, David, we just got a couple of minutes left, but we've touched on a lot of different things here. You've had some cool testimonies you've shared. I wanted you to speak to someone out there who's a skeptic, who maybe is an unbeliever, doesn't believe in Jesus, maybe not even believe in God. What would you want to communicate to them?
God is real, and that God has a very, very specific dream and blueprint for your life, that nothing else in life is going to give you satisfaction like serving God. Money can't satisfy you. You know, you look at all the actors and stars. I don't know how many athletes this year in Europe, professional soccer players to professional tennis players, that have actually killed themselves. I've seen that all over, watching different sports. There's nothing. There was actually a model that was on a popular, was on Spider-Man in Europe. She actually hanged herself.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, it's like, and she was gorgeous, and she had, her career was budding, but she was depressed over a relationship.
Mm.
See, nothing was satisfying. No man will satisfy you. No woman will satisfy you. Money wouldn't satisfy you. Food is not going to satisfy you. Possessions won't satisfy you. Solomon said it the best. He goes, I had it all. You know what? Solomon was basically the Rockefeller, the Hefner, and the Bill Gates of his era.
Mm.
He had technology, he had knowledge, he had money. Solomon even knew, without God, none of this even mattered. And I think that's the thing I'd want to communicate to anyone. Without God, it doesn't matter if you have everything you want. there's something inside you that isn't going to be satisfied. We're working on a book called The Dream Seed, The Blueprint of God Within You, from one of my pastors that I help with. And I heard that title. I said, you know, that's awesome, because I know God put a dream in me years ago, and I'm walking in this dream. You know, a lot of times people look at it and say, I don't think I'm where I'm supposed to be. Everybody's passed me up, or everybody's preaching better than me, or everyone's doing things where I want to be in missions and I'm not. I tell everybody this: you're going to look back and you're going to see you're ahead of everybody. You had a perfect plan and a perfect way for you to get there, and then you're not behind, but you're far ahead of where everyone else, where you thought you were behind, you're ahead. I really believe that in people's lives. They need to realize that God has a plan. We do broadcasting, ministry, and missions, and it's all because we're just constantly being busy. My favorite scripture, one of my favorite scriptures that I've been really on to this last year, and it's for a dream cometh through the multitude of busyness. And that's Ecclesiastes 5:3. And if you want your dreams to come true, my friends, you got to get busy.
That's right. You know, set a goal and pray and move your feet, you know, and God will direct your path. A lot of times people will, they'll pray about it, but they won't take any action. You got to take the first step, you know, and then God
Absolutely.
Will direct your paths. You know, it says that in the Proverbs 3:5, I think it is. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, acknowledge him, and he will direct your paths. So once again, David Yanez, I want to thank you so much for taking the time out on Divine Intervention. It was really cool talking to you and hearing about all the great things God has done through you and is continuing to do. So keep up the great work for the Lord.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate you having me on.
All right, no problem. Well, friends, that about does it for this episode of Divine Intervention. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you have any questions or comments, you can hit me up at divineintervention@mail.com. And, of course, you can check out our archives online anytime, divineinterventionradio.com, divineinterventionradio.com. Once again, I'm Daniel Fazina. Thank you for tuning in. God willing, we will see you again next week for another exciting episode of Divine Intervention. Take care and God bless. Hey, this is Daniel Fazina. Thanks for listening to my show, Divine Intervention. I hope you have been inspired by the many miracle testimonies we have featured and that your faith has increased. Jesus is alive and he is still working wonders among his people today. More information about the Divine Intervention Show, free downloads and podcasts can be found on the web at www.divineinterventionradio.com. That's www.divineinterventionradio.com. Divine Intervention welcomes the support of Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants. Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants is a family-owned and operated Christian business serving their clients with quality accounting services for over 40 years, offering full-service accounting for any type of business, large or small, in any state of the union. Letierzo Associates Certified Public Accountants, 12 Oak Street, No. 5, West Hampton Beach, New York, 11978. Phone 631-288-3334. That's 631-288-3334. Hey, this is Daniel Fazina of Divine Intervention Radio, and I would like to tell you about an exciting business opportunity I recently learned about with an amazing company called Ambit Energy. Rated by Inc. magazine as the number one fastest growing privately held company in America in 2010, Ambit Energy is a respected provider of electricity and natural gas to homes and businesses. Ambit Energy also rewards their customers for referring their service to others. As an Ambit independent consultant, you can start a business of your own that has the potential to generate thousands in residual income month after month. So, how many people do you know that use electricity or natural gas? How many of them do you think would like to pay less for it or even get it for free? How would you like to earn a residual income and potentially thousands of dollars in bonuses just for referring them to a service that everybody uses and that you don't have to sell? More information about this exciting opportunity with Ambit Energy can be found on the web at freepowernow.energy526.com. That's freepowernow.energy526.com.